This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So did you ever think you were going to be in one of these big Roland Emmerich movies?
Did I ever think I would?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how you can ever kind of prepare yourself for that. You know, I grew up with these movies. You know, I'm of that generation that saw Stargate at 9, you know, so, you know, watching his films and really being such a fan of his, I always wanted to, but I never expected to be.
So was there any mishaps on this set, you know, when you got a lot of guys with spears running around? I'm sure lots of things can happen. How did it all go?
It was surprisingly smooth. You know, there were so many aspects and elements to it, you know, between the weather and the crew and helicopters and, you know, blizzards and sandstorms and stuff. Surprisingly, very little accidents and things like that happened. You know, cuts and bruises, things along those lines, but nothing major.
So most of it was in New Zealand?
New Zealand, yeah. South Africa, and Namibia. About 2 months apiece.
Right. And how did you enjoy those countries?
It was amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely amazing. You know, where we were shooting in New Zealand and Namibia especially, I can't imagine it was much different in 10,000 BC than it was when we were there. I mean, it was just so, you know, I guess I can use the word pure. I mean, there was no roads to where we were, or, you know, we were out in tents in the middle of the savannah in Namibia, and watching like zebras run by. It was amazing. Really.
Oh, so no Four Seasons, you were out in tents doing this shoot.
Yeah, bad points. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. It really helped kind of throw you into where you need to be for what we were doing at the time, because it's just, you know, we were really out in the middle of nature, you know, trekking up the mountains and up dunes and, you know, for something so unique and original, a story and an environment as this, that really helps you get into a place where you need to be. So
you are out of nowhere, so you didn't have time to hang out at night? Like to the bar or a club?
There weren't too many with the spring bucks. No, I think I had 2 days off the entire shoot, and, you know, we're shooting 6 day weeks to begin with, so you know, when we had a day off, I just crashed and slept.
Did you go to the boot camp too?
Yeah, sure did.
How was it?
It was intense. I had actually trained before I had gotten there, and then I did the boot camp. And the boot camp was very intense. I think it was meant to kind of coalesce all of us together so that when we were doing shots like the Mammoth Hunt, we looked like we were working as a group, and that we had done it before. And you know, just to be...
Was it military style boot camp?
Ish. I mean, it was intense. I mean, the guys that were training us were ex-military from England, so similar, you know. It was important. I mean, for the shots that we were doing, you know, for the fight sequences and Mammoth Hunts and stuff, for however long that is in the film, I mean, those took weeks to shoot, and that's, you know, a lot of running. So it was very important.
When actors use the term boot camp, you have this impression of being up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, doing press-ups and everything. I mean, how tough is boot camp?
You know, I think for us... us wimpy actors, it's pretty intense. You know, I had gone to a Jesuit military school for high school, so I was kind of familiar with you know, what we were doing. And in regards to that, you know, from what I remember and what we were doing, it was pretty similar. So,
but what time did you get up to do it?
I mean, it wasn't you know, that early, but, you know, then again, we're also doing a lot of other things as well. You know, there was obviously preparation for other things other than the physical. You know, we had to do, you know, hours and hours of rehearsal and working through scripts and, you know, accent training. And, you know, there was so many elements to it that you just kind of have to fit things in where you can, you know.
What kind of training do you have in your normal life?
You know, nothing all that special. I mean, you know, I grew up doing athletics. My mom was a karate teacher growing up, so,
wow.
You know, it's always been a part of my life. So, you know, I don't compete anymore or anything, but, you know, I still like to jump rope and, you know, it's much more a mental thing for me. It kind of clears my head. So I do a little something every day, but nothing too extreme.
And did you need some special abilities when you made the casting? They asked you for, like, having some sort of training, or...
No, I mean, you know, the only training I really needed to do initially was I had to lose a lot of weight. I lost about 30, 40 pounds, so,
okay.
Yeah, I mean that was what needed to happen.
I understand you were very familiar with Roland's work before you started, and how was working with him? I mean, was what you expected?
You know, I frankly had heard only wonderful things about Roland. You know, so I was expecting it to be pretty wonderful, but you know, it far exceeded my expectations. You know, I think with Roland's films, he really does create different worlds that you can kind of disappear into for 2 hours and just have a good time with. And they're massive in scope. So I was surprised in a great way about how intimate he is as a director with his actors. He really takes the time to create a safe environment on set. And he's really there, you know, very involved in each scene. And it was great. I never felt second fiddle to any sort of technical shot or... It was wonderful. You know,
this is a probably a big time of year for you because you have another movie coming out pretty soon with Stop Loss.
Mm-hmm.
So could you talk a little bit just to ask you about your character in that film and what's it like for you to have two films coming out at the same time?
It's amazing. You know, I've been incredibly fortunate. I mean, you know, just to be able to make a living doing this is, you know, absolutely a blessing. It's wild. You know, I've had in Stop Loss, it's a much smaller character in the film, and I play a brother of a guy who dies in Iraq, and Ryan Phillippe's character kind of comes to our family's house and explains why. And I don't play a soldier; I play just a guy who had lost a loved one there.
How was the accent decided upon? What type of accent? Who decided to do it this way?
I think for the most part it was a phoneticist named Brendan Gunn. He's Irish and brilliant man. I mean, he also had created the six other languages in the film from scratch. So, you know, I think it would be safe to say that he's a genius. Basically what he was aiming for, and it was, you know, worked through with everybody, you know, everyone kind of put in their two cents, but I mean the goal was to make it sound old and ambiguous. We didn't want it to be placeable, you know. I mean, you can use standard English for antiquity, you know, Rome and Greece, and it kind of sounds right, but that wouldn't be right for this. It doesn't sound exotic enough. So basically he had taken standard English and Arabic and kind of mashed them together, and we all started talking like Omar Sharif. So he narrated the film.
How did you enjoy working with Camila?
She's amazing. You know, she's incredibly sweet, and you know, as an actress, she's incredibly generous. You know, she really gives you a lot to react off of, even when she's not on camera, which is absolutely amazing. And you know, the funny part about this, or the irony, you know, being that this is essentially a love story, is that we shot very little together. We shot in the beginning and we shot in the end, and that was it. You know, we essentially were making two different films for the most part. But for the time that we were working together, it was great.
But you guys, you're the same age, and did you hang out a lot? Or?
Yeah, you know, I think we all did. I mean, you know, when we all had the time, you know, after the day was done, we became a small family on set. I mean, this was really as gratifying a film as this was for all of us. It was a very tough shoot, you know, and we all worked really, really hard, and I think we all needed to come together to kind of get through it, you know, in many ways. And, you know, we had dinner together, all of us, and, you know, Roland would throw these dinners, and there'd be barbecues or something on our day off. We all became very close.
And you have a rock band called Tribe.
I did. I did.
So I was wondering if you came up with the name because of the film.
That would be incredibly cheesy. I did have a rock band called Tribe a few years ago.
Autistic differences?
Just difficult to have band practice while you're in Namibia. I really wanted to focus more on acting. It was something that I had done for the longest. I started going to acting school when I was 13 years old, so... Mm-hmm. That was always my core passion and something that I love more than anything, so I wanted to focus all my energy on that.
Roland puts a lot of stuff in his movies, like pyramids and all that other stuff. Does he suggest to you any books to read or any theories? Do you guys talk about his kind of theories on stuff on set?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the cool thing about Roland's films is that they kind of mix some sort of weird mythology within his fantasy. You know, I think with this one, in terms of the pyramids and whatnot, there are theories that they were built much earlier than most people think. And that's not all that it's not all that far off. You know, it's something that is not looked upon as something that's crazy. I mean, there's speculation about when the Sphinx was built and the pyramids, just from differentiations within, you know, the temples in Egypt and how many hieroglyphs are there. There are very, very little in the pyramids and none in the Sphinx, you know, so they're very distinct differences between the two. So, I mean, he works with those theories, and I know Roland really enjoys them. Yeah, but I mean, in terms of books and whatnot, our preparation for this was much less on a historical level because, I mean, 10,000 is by no means a documentary of any kind. So we're really focusing on telling the story in and of itself as opposed to kind of making it a historical, you know, film.
How was that played against the, like, a painted tiger, this one? Different blue screen thing or green screen, how was it?
It was wild. I mean, initially it's a little awkward, as you could probably imagine, you know, poking at something that isn't there in front of about 500 people. but, you know, once you kind of get into the rhythm of things, and you kind of take it for what it is and you take it with a sense of humor, you can kind of just let your imagination roll with things because there's no constraints on really what you're reacting off of. It's doing anything you want it to. So I had a good time with it. I mean, it definitely sets, you know, a certain amount of challenges, but then, you know, you look at it in perspective and it's a truly unique experience. You just kind of have to enjoy it, you know. You never know when you might have to work with a mammoth again. So you just have to enjoy it at the time, I think.
You mentioned that you lost 30 or more pounds before the shoot. And I can't imagine you carrying an extra 30 pounds. So how did you lose it?
I pretty much stayed where I was on the shoot. I had gained quite a bit of weight for a film I had done previous called Covenant for the wire work. And I had to put on a lot of muscle to be able to do the wire work.
Oh, so it was muscular pounds.
Yeah. So I had to lose that weight after I put it on for that film. Basically, it was a very, very hardcore regimen. I had worked with a trainer named Steve Zim, who's absolutely fantastic. And he basically outlined a dietary program and a workout program to where, you know, we try to eat the maximum amount of loss without it being absolutely detrimental to my health.
Also, give us some tips. What you
right. Very little. Very little and running a very long time.
Yeah. So was it all high protein? Or?
Actually, it wasn't because it was very strange because, you know, most people put on muscle for films. So actually, there was very little protein. We wanted to burn the muscle. We wanted to be able to use it as fuel. So we didn't want to keep it there. So it was actually more carbs than anything, which is very strange. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Not bad. A lot of toast.
And also, you worked on Undiscovered with Ashley Simpson. I mean, the Simpson sisters just get so much criticism. I mean, what was it like working with Ashley?
You know, that was another case where I really didn't get to work all that much with her. You know, her part was significant but not large, and I, you know, it was much more with Pell James's character. But, you know, for when I saw her and worked with her, she was incredibly sweet. You know, I think she got pigeonholed for something that I think a lot of people do, which, you know, is kind of just the way it happens sometimes. But she's a very sweet girl, and I haven't really kept in contact with her, but I hope she's doing well. It seems like she is. So.
Have you been filming anything recently, or are you getting ready to film something?
I actually took quite a bit of time off after this film just to digest the experience. You know, between pre-production, shooting, and post, I mean, it pretty much took, you know, in total over a year. So, I had taken some time off. I went back to New York, and then I did Stop Loss, and then right now it's, you know, I've been incredibly lucky. It's, you know, I have a few different things that have been offered to me, and I really just want to take time to make the right decision and do justice to the blessings that I've been given in many ways. So I'm in no rush.
So the writers, the actor strike that possibly could happen in June, has that influenced any projects you were thinking about doing?
The actor's strike? No. I think in many ways that prospect influences much more the studios than the actors, you know, in terms of what they want to put forward. I was reading an article in the New York Times today about Justice League. You know, I think that's definitely in the back of you know, production's minds and whatnot. You know, if anything affected everyone, you know, right now, I think it was the writer's strike, which I totally understand. And you know, it definitely slowed things down because you can't get a rewrite, you know, in the middle of shooting. So, but you know, luckily for me, and it hasn't really affected me all that much. So it's been okay.
So are you starting to get the hunger though to get ready to get into something else?
Absolutely. I just, you know, I want, you know, with the few things that I have on the table, I just want to make sure I pick the right one.
Yeah. As a singer, are you interested in working in Broadway or in another musical that they are having in movies?
Sure. Yeah, why not? yeah, you know, I love music. And, you know, whenever I get the opportunity to do something, if it kind of fits with everything else I like, sure.
What kind of music do you like? Do you prefer?
I like everything. You know, I prefer playing rock or blues, but I listen to everything, so.
And are you prepared to be the next Heartthrob or to appear in the People's Most Beautiful show and that stuff?
How am I supposed to answer that question? I have no idea. I mean, okay. You know, it's kind of, I certainly don't look at myself that way, so, I have no idea.
Okay. You seem to have quite a following already with fun clubs. I mean, do people in New York know where you live? Do they come and kind of wait outside on your doorstep?
Well, they haven't so far. I really hope that hasn't happened since I haven't been there.
Were you allowed to take a shower?
No, I didn't take a shower for a year.
Guys.
Yeah, ruining towels across two continents. Take care.
Thank you.